Do you want to start by introducing yourself and explaining what the Perilous Chronicle is?
So my name's Duncan, and I'm part of the team that's working on Perilous, which is a chronicle of prisoner unrest across the U.S. and Canada from 2010 to the present. That means it's a website and a digital tool to explore the series and diverse set of prisoner collective action over the past 9 years. And our framework is basically any event that involves two or more prisoners that has as its target something related to the conditions of confinement or abusive guards or even incarceration itself. So yeah, anything that falls within that category, we're trying to catalog and put on this website and make accessible via different sorting and browsing tools.
Can you tell us a bit about how the idea for this project came about? Like, what led to the creation of the website?
I think it came out of, I don't know all of the prehistory, but I think that there's been a series of conversations over the past few years of seeing something like this as a gap in what's becoming a pretty dynamic and massive movement that's looking critically at incarceration from many different angles. But there has yet to be until Perilous, like, one centralized place where people could look at these things in a sequence, in a timeline. And that's one of the things we try to pull out is that you, at different events, you can link to different things that happened at the facility in the past. So like this hunger strike followed up on a hunger strike 6 months ago, which followed up on a hunger strike like a year ago, that followed up on a protest, and so on and so forth. And I think there's also an intervention of a lot of this history of the past 9 years is told in really haphazard manners. And it often doesn't include things written or interviews done by prisoners. So that's one small intervention that's really important to us is telling this history of resistance to incarceration in various ways, and telling that and making sure that as much as possible prisoners' voices are included in that history.
Can you give us an example of a couple recent things that have been posted on the site?
Yeah, totally. So I guess that's like a parallel goal of the site is not only to be a chronicle and in some ways like an archive of events from the past, but also try to be a resource for events that are unfolding in the present. So we have our most recent post is about a hunger strike at Yuba County Jail in California, in which immigrants detained by ICE are on hunger strike. And so that post has their demands and some background context and so on and so forth. And we also covered the work stoppage at in Minnesota in December. So yeah, ideally we'll fill both of these roles. So people can explore the history of prisoner action, but also like kind of go to an authoritative source to understand events that are unfolding in the present.
You guys have a really amazing about us section on the website, and in mm-hmm. it says that since 2010, there's been a, quote, steadily rising wave of prison rebellion that you all think constitutes a mm-hmm. nationwide social movement. And you kind of mentioned this mm-hmm. in your, like, why create this kind of website? How did the idea for this come about? And part of that idea is, like, wanting to make this nationwide social movement more visible. Can you talk about this a little bit mm-hmm. more and give us, like, a sense of why talk about prisoner resistance in this way and what's maybe changing since 2010?
Mm-hmm. There's a couple, I think, aspects of that. I think that especially in 2016 and 2018 are those are maybe these most notable like national coordinated actions, sometimes called nationwide prisoner strikes. And these have in actually a lot of ways, like it feels like broken through into mainstream media, what is actually a fairly consistent and persistent level of prisoner unrest. So, but also these are not coming these events have histories that go back, I mean, obviously, even decades prior to the beginning of this project, but we're volunteers, so we have to start somewhere. So we're starting in 2010. But, you know, we could trace it back to George Jackson and Attica and so on and so forth. So I think that it's hard, and it's hard to say for sure. I know to say that, like, there's more actions now than there were 10 years ago. I can't say that definitively, but there is many actions happening right now. Like, we recorded in 61 last year, and we're finding more every day and adding them when we can. And I think it's in some ways one of the things that came out of seeing these, like, 2016 and 2018 really break through into mainstream media and, like, really influence the way people are talking about incarceration and also, like, alternatives to incarceration. But we wanted to be like, well, this stuff's actually happening all the time. And maybe these are, like, these are coordinated and they share a day all across the country, and including Canada. But, you know, there's these connective tissues between these different events. And so, related to that, of what, well, something we want to do with the website is not just, this isn't a website just for people studying incarceration in, like, academy or prison abolitionists or so on and so forth. It is for all these people, but we're hoping that it can assist in breaking through into sort of more mainstream media sources, and can, because I mean, like, there's articles that come out in different sorts of you know, more mainstream sources that lots of people around the country read, lots of people around the world read, and they'll actually, like, misrepresent certain actions, or they'll give some incorrect number about the number of, you know, uprisings that occurred in this and that year. So ideally, seeing kind of and being impressed and really, like, excited about the way that the 2016 and 2018 strike broke through and became part of a national conversation, you know, this national conversation should be happening all the time. And having prisoner actions at the center of that is important to us. So in that way, actually, we're not even, like, we might have our own particular political beliefs, and those probably come through in certain ways in the project. But, like, we're hoping that this can actually be a project that lots of people with lots of different backgrounds can make use of, because we think that just having what prisoners do and what prisoners say about what they do and seeing if we can capture as much of that as possible, we think that's a really important part of these ongoing conversations about what to do within this crisis of mass incarceration.
You talked a little bit about how it seems like you guys have many different ideas about who you're hoping will use the website and for what purposes. And things you've mentioned so far, yeah, like people using it to keep up with the news about unfolding acts of prisoner resistance, and also people looking to do a little bit more, like, historical in the last 8 years or 9 years research about what's been changing. Are there other ways that you're hoping the website will get used? Are there other groups of people you haven't mentioned yet who you're hoping will use the website for different reasons?
I think ideally we could expand in lots of different ways. One immediate way that we're hoping to expand in is to have a place that prisoners can contact us directly with their own accounts of actions that they witnessed or participated in. And I mean, because for example, lots of these actions on here, there's, like, you hear that, like, oh, they presented some list of demands to a warden or so on and so forth. And a lot of times we don't have those demands yet on the site. And something like that, if prisoners could find out about the site and reach out directly to us via, you know, via mail or something like that, then so in that way, it would be actually a way for, like, prisoners to directly get their side of the story out to the public. But on a more technical side, I think another way we'd like to expand is do better stuff with the data that we've already collected. And that means, you know, ideally expand into visualizations. We could do mapping projects of these actions. We could do better sort of statistical analysis and stuff like that. Right now, we're really proud of what's up on the site, but there's lots of more research that could come out of and conclusions that could be drawn from the stuff up there. So that's another way that we like to expand.
So you mentioned that, like, of course, you guys are coming from, like, a political angle in wanting to do this project. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about, like, what that angle is, but also how that angle affects, like, what you think the point of spreading more widespread knowledge of prisoner resistance will be. Like, what kind of an effect are you hoping that spreading this knowledge more widely and potentially spreading, like, more accurate knowledge about what's happening on the inside, how is that going to affect the growing conversation around incarceration, especially, like, mass incarceration and the way it's framed in the U.S.?
I think we generally share a commitment to that, like, mass incarceration and prisons are not, they're not working. And maybe you can make some historical claim that they've never worked, but it's becoming increasingly obvious for people all across the political spectrum, actually, I mean, this is something I know a lot about the prison system in Michigan, for instance, and like the libertarian right actually is you know, pushing and passing lots of these sort of reform bills. And I mean, and in some ways they seem similar to leftist solutions. In some ways they don't seem at all, right? But I think that the more that the people actually on the front lines of this issue, the prisoners themselves, they have, I mean, many of us that have corresponded with or family members or friends that have been in prison. I mean, these people have many different sorts of opinions and solutions about the crisis of mass incarceration. And an easy way to think about some of those, you know, solutions or thoughts or, you know, criticisms of it, if they're manifested in these different protests and hunger strikes and riots and uprisings, food strikes, and all these things that we catalog on the site. So I think the general political thing that I think the project is committed to is that mass incarceration is in a crisis, and people from lots of different political backgrounds with lots of different agendas are proposing solutions. And we think as a very basic way, the more that prisoners can be part of that, this movement happening right now, and the more that they're sort of the reasons for the protests, the reasons for the things that they're doing, as well as just general knowledge of, like, at a very basic way, it's like, one of the ways that mass incarceration is in crisis is that, like, there's no way to do it that won't provoke protest. Like, that's like the basic thesis of the site. And that's not that's not even really a political statement. That's just a basic observation of the prison system of, like, if you lock people up and you know, you restrict their access in certain ways to loved ones, to healthy food, to recreation, to social activities, they're gonna organize, and they're gonna go on strike, and they're gonna even like attack guards, and they're gonna do all these sorts of things. And at a very basic level, that's the thesis of the site, which I don't actually know if it's like a political statement to say. It's more of a like the observation that we're trying to back up with these concrete actions.
Can you talk a little bit more about how you guys make the decisions around what to put up on the site, what counts as a disturbance?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. We had to do a little bit of studying on like the sort of like best practices for data collection. And part of that is we have definitions of types of events, and that's sort of the driving force of the site. And you can read those definitions on our search page on the website. They're on the bottom of the search page. And so that makes it a lot easier to decide what events to include or not include. But the basic parameter, which I already said, was that it's more than two or more prisoners, and the action is geared at like some sort of abuse or incarceration itself. So, you know, moldy food or you know, an abusive guard or restriction to access to the phones or something. You know, these are things that like these would be like, okay, absolutely included on the site. What we don't want to do, and we don't want to deny that this stuff is like happens all the time, but we're just not interested in cataloging like prisoner on prisoner violence. And that's obviously that is in some ways sparked by the terrible living conditions that these people are put in. But it's just, that's what gets a lot more complicated to catalog. And also we have to have some sort of limits on what we can reasonably say we're gonna chronicle. But then within that it's like collective action, not only geared at other prisoners. Then we sort these actions into the different event types, which would be you know, everything from hunger strike to setting a fire, setting something on fire, to a commissary boycott, to we have also a generic like disturbance we use that one if like something definitely happened, but people, it's very unclear what different sorts of groups are saying different things happen. Like, you know, it's kind of a three-way fight inside prison. So maybe the guards union is saying something and the prison administration is saying something totally different and the prisoners are saying something totally different. And it's like, if we really can't really realistically determine what happened, and we'll just call it disturbance as kind of like our, you know, catch-all. But we try to avoid that when almost all the events we can really easily categorize into one of our other event types.
I'm curious about why you decided to include Canada in this project. Like, in its description, it is trying to track prisoner resistance both in the US and in Canada. And then after you made that decision, what similarities and differences have you seen in terms of stories about resistance on the inside in the US versus in Canada?
The full story is actually we were a bit more full of ourselves than we thought we could do the US, Canada, and Mexico. And that was, we bit off more than we could chew. And that's another way we would like to expand. We would like to actually expand into Mexico. And we have some events already that aren't on the site. But and there's also like a language thing that that is another, just an added thing if we're going to be studying Mexico also. But as far as Canada, there were these like, you know, we knew people that were doing support to there's been a couple of uprisings in the past couple of years in Canada, like in Saskatchewan, and even in the 2018 prisoner strike. One of the first actions, I think, was in Nova Scotia. I hope I'm remembering that right. And they like a couple of days before the start date, the official start date of the prisoner strike, there were some protests in a prison in Nova Scotia, and they released these demands, and that was very exciting. So at a basic level, there's already been these kind of material and concrete connections across the U.S.-Canada border, and people in the collective have like, you know, just have like the friends of friends have been working doing support for these or you know, corresponding with these people that take these actions. So in some ways it just was an easier fit. And as far as the differences or similarities, I think that I couldn't answer that definitively right now, but that's something that someone that is asking that question, they could go to our site and very easily access all these different sorts of events and draw their own conclusions.
You talked about this a little bit already in terms of like hoping that this project will expand, but do you want to talk more about where you're hoping this project will go in the future?
Yeah, I think we have big dreams, and we're also limited by our capacity, and also it's all volunteer run at this point. That's fine, but that just means we have day jobs and do this in our spare time. And that sense, it's a labor of love, and it's a thing we think is really important. But if you know, in the future, if we could get funding, we could pay like web developers, for instance, and we could pay people with like a lot more experience working with data and doing visualizations and stuff. And we could turn, I mean, there's these sites that inspire us, like, you know, the Prison Policy Initiative, but also something like The Counted, which chronicled the deaths at the hands of police in the US. I think that's a project that The Guardian sort of started. So this is projects that are beautiful and really, really important for people trying to make sense of our tumultuous world and the violence that goes on every day. And we would like to be a project like that can, you know, generate these beautiful graphs so that all sorts of people use, that generate maps and that that's one I've already talked about that a little bit, but that would be a dream. There's a lot of nice stuff you can do if we you know, kind of get our data game together a little bit better. Also, I think that there's just a lot of information out there, like, and it's We've done a good job in some years. We've done an okay job in other years, but we have sort of gaps in our timeline right now that we know there is many, many more actions in years like, you know, 2012 or 2013, for instance. And that's sort of historical research, and we're trying to uncover these actions and to give a more full picture of the past 10 years. And from there, I mean, it's really like we could just keep going back in time. And yeah, there's many different ways we could expand. And then another one that's, I think, on the agenda for probably the next 6 months even is open up direct lines of communication with prisoners themselves, which maybe some of us in the group have via other, you know, just friendships or other organizations and so on and so forth. But I think a direct line with Perilous as this sort of like historic, like, you know, chronicle of actions, I think opening up that direct line of communication with prisoners would be one of the more immediate ways we're going to expand in the next 6 months.
Based on creating this site, do you have any predictions for where prisoner resistance seems to be headed?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about it in that way before, the site of like reflecting, but also like looking towards the future. I think I'd have to think about that a little bit more. Yeah, I think there's like this, in general, there's like incarceration, even in the past, since the 2008 financial crisis is like, you know, there's lots of like different, lots of different states on the state prison level, for instance, in the States there people are trying to figure out all different ways of like, because there's basically this financial crisis that state governments can't actually operate the prisons that they have. So in Michigan, for instance, you know, there's all sorts of solutions. More people are being locked up in county jails. There's a lot more what's called e-carceration, right, where people are wearing ankle bracelets. I don't know if I could say definitively where things will go, but I hope that Perilous as a resource could provide some historical context for the things that will unfold in 2019 and the years to come.
That's it for my questions. Did you have anything you wanted to add, or was there anything that you feel like I missed asking you about that you wanted to talk about?
I guess just one last tiny thing is that we are like also looking for any sort of feedback, but also any sort of like help that people would want to offer towards the site. We've already, since we've launched a week ago, we've had different sorts of groups reach out to us and contribute short write-ups for the site, which has been amazing, because that's really like, that's how the site is going to expand, is people, it's kind of like driven by the public. And but also on the technical side of things, like we have, let me say, the site looks good right now and it works, but we're also just like, if people had, you know, skills or advice to offer, this is really like a project that could use support from a wide range of people. And yeah, just throwing that out there.